My name's Colin Gray, and this is Podcraft, where we're honing the art of podcasting. Today we're talking about digital audio workstations. This is what you use to edit your audio podcast. Let's see what's available. Welcome to another episode of Podcraft. Thanks for joining me again, as usual. This time to talk about software. So we're getting into the technicalities of editing your podcast. This is the packages that you can use to actually record your audio directly, to edit it, do post-production, that type of stuff. Everything you need to do to clean up your audio and get it ready to be put out into the outside world so that your listeners can actually listen to it. I'm not going to go through every single digital audio workstation out there. We're just going to go through the ones that are most commonly used by podcasters, including a couple of free options and maybe one paid one. But we'll cover everything, pros and cons between them all, so you can get a good chance to see which one you think might suit you. So we'll get onto that in just a minute. Just before that, a couple of introduction things. As usual, we're supported here on Podcraft by Fiona Frame Transcription. So you can find Fiona's services over at outsource-typing.com. She provides the transcriptions for this podcast. And if you're looking for a similar type of thing for your podcast, by all means, check her out at that web address I just mentioned. Next of all, I just want to mention, before getting into the content, National Podcasting Day. So I'm not sure if you've heard about this, but if you're listening to this podcast, no doubt you are a podcast producer, or you're at least interested in the world of podcasting, and therefore National Podcasting Day should be on your radar. Really, the idea of National Podcasting Day is to get the idea of podcasting out to more people. As you probably know, even if you're producing podcasts, you know a lot about podcasting, but it's still a pretty niche topic. There's still plenty of people out there that don't really know what a podcast is. And really, obviously, we think they're missing out on a lot. So the idea is to get the concept out to more people, to get more people listening to podcasts in general, and also to get more people making podcasts, to get people interested in the fact that they can do it themselves. So National Podcasting Day aims to do all of that. So there's a couple of things I'm doing around this. I'm going to put the Podcasting Day logos on the website so you can see it there, advertising just the fact that it exists. I'm also organising a podcasting meetup at the moment. It's associated with the UK Podcasters group, so UK Podcasters on Facebook, and there's a few different meetups going on around the country, and we're going to hold one up here in Scotland, particularly in Dundee. So it's going to be in Dundee at the end of October, and if you want to find out a bit more about that, then you can go to www.meetup.com/UK Podcasters, and you'll see all of the national meetups around the country. Obviously, I'd love you to come along to the Dundee one. That's the one I'm organising. But there's plenty around the country if this isn't close enough for you. Obviously, I realise we are way up in the north. But if you are a Scottish podcaster, or at least close enough to make it, it would be great to see you there. Drop us a line in the comments on the episode here, which you can find at thepodcasthost.com/podcraft/205, and you can let us know if you're going to come along. But it'd be great to see you there at the event. So that's one of the things I'm doing for National Podcasting Day. The other thing is what everyone can do, and something I'm contributing to, is post a picture of your studio. It's one of the things they're asking for us to do, just to sort of get the word of podcasting out there. So take a picture of your studio, take a picture of what it is you use to record your podcast, and post it out on Facebook or Twitter, whatever you use, with the hashtag podcastday. And we can all have a look at the kit that we use. I mean, if you're into podcasting, it tends to be a little bit of most of you will be a kit geek like me, so it's good to see what kind of other stuff, what kind of equipment people are recording on. So by all means, take a photo of what you're using, tweet it out on hashtag podcastday. Okay, so that's enough of the introductions. Let's get into the content. Let's look at digital audio workstations. Podcraft, honing the art of podcasting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through three of the most popular digital audio workstations, commonly known as audio editing software. What I'm going to go through is Audacity, GarageBand, and Adobe Audition. Now, I commonly use, I've always used Audacity. So I'll go through that one first. Let's look at the advantages of Audacity. Now, first off, Audacity is free, so no cost. You can get hold of Audacity just by downloading it from the web. So that could be seen as one of the biggest advantages. But obviously, no matter how free something is, it doesn't matter. Well, it's not worth even free if it's a bit rubbish. So let's look at what it can actually do. Now, Audacity, while it is free, is a hugely powerful package. One of the biggest advantages of Audacity, particularly over GarageBand, probably its main competitor, is the fact that it's got a huge range of effects. So it's got all sorts of things that you might need. I mean, the most common ones that podcasters will tend to use are things like compression, noise reduction, possibly a bit of equalization, and amplify as well, so you can standardize out your audio. Now, you can do all of those in Audacity, along with a range of other ones like fade outs and a few other things. So Audacity does have a huge range of effects all built into it, and most of them are really good quality with plenty of customization available there as well. Essentially, it's about as powerful as any amateur podcaster will need, and even a lot of professional audio producers as well. So it's really powerful in that sense. Next thing is, Audacity is totally cross-platform, so you can use it on PC or Mac, which is really useful if you do work across different platforms, so you don't want to have to learn two different things to use it on different different computers. GarageBand, for example, is Mac only, so if you do learn GarageBand and you move over to PC, you're going to have to learn something new. So that is a definite advantage of Audacity. I would say Audacity, another pro for it, is the fact that there's quite a lot of tutorials around, so it's easy to learn. Now, it does look quite intimidating at first. I've taught Audacity in face-to-face classes quite a lot, as well as online, and people do get quite intimidated by it. The interface doesn't look the most friendly. Loads of knobs, loads of buttons. If you've not done any audio editing or video editing, that type of stuff before, the multi-track interface and the way the audio wave appears can look quite intimidating at first. But once you get over that, once you start to learn it, it is really easy to learn. It is quite quick. Most of the stuff that you will need is really easy to access and really easy to use as well. And I would say the range of tutorials out there are really powerful. They really get you through that sort of that initial learning curve. I've actually created a range of tutorials myself, so if you're looking for a decent range to go through, then by all means check out my YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com/ColinMCGray, and you'll find a range of Audacity tutorials there, taking you up from the total beginner steps to some of the more powerful tools in it too. Now, talking about a not-so-good aspect of Audacity, a lot of people complain about the MP3 encoder in Audacity. Essentially, it's an add-on that's called LAME, L-A-M-E. You download it and you add it into Audacity so Audacity can export MP3s. Now, it's known not to be the best quality one in the world. It's quite good for variable bit rate encoding, which is used often for music. But for us podcasters, we tend to use constant bit rate encoding, and it's not so good for that. So you can do a lot better, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But just to be aware that a lot of people actually advocate exporting a WAV from Audacity, which is that really high quality audio format, and then converting it to an MP3 in iTunes, for example, because iTunes has a really good quality MP3 encoder. So just to be aware that Audacity doesn't have a good built-in MP3 encoder. And also, it's known to be a little bit flaky. So on the downside, when you're working with Audacity, it can pause, it can sort of be unresponsive a little bit. It doesn't crash often for me, but it has happened. So just to be aware that while it's a free application, it is developed, there's a really good team behind it, but possibly it won't be as robust as some of the more professional ones, such as GarageBand or Audition, which is the other one I'm going to talk about. A final pro for Audacity that I just want to go through is the fact that you can do chains within it. So once you get a bit more advanced, once you know what you're doing the same processes each time, then you can set up automation for some of those processes. To give you an example, what I normally do for my podcast is that I will apply a bit of compression, I'll apply a bit of amplification, and a bit of equalization as well. Now, I've experimented over the years to figure out the best compression, the best equalization that suits my voice, so I know the settings that I use in Audacity. And in the early days, what you have to do is actually select the whole track and then basically run those effects, put in the settings that you use each time, and then run it. And it can be a little bit cumbersome, but it is possible within Audacity to set up a chain, which essentially means that you can set up the settings for each of those processes and then just click one button to run that chain, and it does all of it at once with those preset settings. So I just have to click once these days and it runs my standard compression settings, my standard amplification, and my standard equalization, all three of them all at once, and gets it all done very quickly. So I do like that about Audacity. It does have a bit of workflow stuff in there to make things a bit easier for you, make things a bit more efficient. So that's what I would say about Audacity, and that covers pretty much the standard Audacity pros and cons. So let's move on to its main competitor at that level, which is GarageBand, or GarageBand if you're in the US, of course. Now, again, GarageBand is free, so it doesn't cost anything to get. Now, full disclosure before I go through this, I don't use GarageBand at all. I don't have a Mac, never have been a Mac person. So really what I'm working on here is a bit of research and chatting to people that have used it a lot. So I do know a fair bit about it just through talking to people about it. And this is basically what I've found. Now, the first thing that people always talk about is the fact that it's very easy to use. I mean, it is Apple that's created it after all. So Apple are known for their ease of use, making stuff just basically simple as anything, really nice interface, great usability. So it's very easy to get into podcasting with GarageBand. They've also got, because it's Apple, and because Apple are kind of one of the main instigators of podcasts through iTunes, it does have some really nice templates in there for podcasters. So it can give you an idea of how to set up a podcasting project within GarageBand. And it can help you do the sort of standard stuff, the standard processes that you need to do as a podcast producer. There's also, because of that, Apple also provide quite a lot of loops and sound effects. So there's quite a lot of music in there that you can use for free, royalty-free music, some sound effects as well, and plenty of loops so that you can have nice music beds, some stuff at the start of your podcast, like some theme music that then goes into the background and you can talk over it for a little while. And I hear that GarageBand is really good for setting up those loops and letting a loop run for a certain amount of time and then fading it out. So apparently it's very easy for that type of stuff. Bringing in that music and processing it alongside your vocals. So that's a really nice little advantage, actually, because Audacity doesn't make that quite so simple. You've got to get used to bringing in music, getting used to using the audio envelope, the volume envelope tool to make sure it fades out in the right place. Running loops, you have to make sure you kind of copy it, duplicate it, put them right next to each other, that type of stuff. So GarageBand makes it a bit easier to run that type of process, getting your music set up. And also just the fact that it actually provides those for free is pretty handy. The only downside of that, of course, is that because they're free, because they're in one of the most commonly used podcasting packages, which is GarageBand, they're used a lot. So you probably will recognize quite a few of them if you listen to a lot of podcasts. You will have heard them around the podosphere in the past. There'll be a few podcasts using these. So to the big disadvantage of GarageBand, and that's the fact that it doesn't have a huge amount of processing features. It's not great for noise reduction, compression, that type of stuff. It has got some features along those lines, but really for sort of deeper audio processing, you want to be using something like Audacity or Audition, which is the one I'm going to talk about next. It doesn't offer you a huge amount of the more professional audio editing effects and processes. But then again, a lot of people don't really need those kind of things. I mean, there's kind of movement at the moment towards going back towards more natural sounding voices, so less compression, less processed. And I do think that's quite a good thing, because there are a lot of more really over-processed podcasts out there. So it could be that you don't need any of that stuff, and actually it just extends your workflow, doesn't really provide that much benefit. I've also been told that in GarageBand you can only do it in certain sections of the track, so the effects that you can put in, you can only do it, to full tracks, you can't do it to sections of the track. So for example, in Audacity I can choose a little bit of my track and I can amplify that a certain amount, or I can choose a little part of my track and compress that a certain amount. But apparently in GarageBand, you can only select a whole track and process that whole thing at once, which seems a bit crazy, to be honest, but that's what I've been told. By all means, if that is not correct, if you're a keen GarageBand user and you know that that's not true, then stick a comment in the comments on the today's podcast notes, and I'll correct that in an upcoming podcast, because it does seem a bit strange to me. I did look around for a bit for that, but I didn't find anything to contradict that claim. Lastly, thing about GarageBand is that it doesn't actually output MP3s, which seems a bit strange, but probably partly because it's part of the iLife family, which means that it integrates right with iTunes. So what you do is you output your AIFF, which is a really high quality audio file, similar to WAV, and you put that into iTunes, and then iTunes will create your MP3 for you. So the bonus of that is that iTunes has a really good MP3 processor, encoder, I should say. So you'll get a really good quality MP3 out of iTunes, but then it is an extra step on top of the processing. So it's something else to do in your workflow, which you don't need to do on Audacity. So Audacity, you can export the MP3 directly from Audacity, even if it is lower quality, whereas in GarageBand, you have to take that extra step to put it into iTunes. Okay, so that's about it for GarageBand. Now let's move on to Audition. So Adobe Audition is the first paid one that I'm going to talk about, the only paid one that I'm going to talk about, basically because it's probably the most popular and most commonly used paid digital audio workstation. In podcasting, certainly, there are a whole range of similar applications, audio editing packages out there used by audio engineers, audio professionals, but Audition is possibly the most accessible one out there, certainly for podcasters, and it's promoted by quite a few podcasters around the podosphere. So what do you get for this money? Once you pay for it, you do get a lot of extra features straight away. Essentially, when you first look at Audition, you'll see it's just a different level of quality. The interface is much more polished, much more nice, much more user-friendly, possibly not than GarageBand. GarageBand, of course, is a really professional package produced by Apple, of course, so it's going to look nice, designed well. But in Audition, just the interface is so well set out for audio editing, introducing all those much more powerful editing tools, but making them look nice, making them sort of just to hand, usability is great, so that everything's really easy to use. So of course, being a professional audio editing package, all of the features are there, so you get everything that Audacity has and more, such as the compression, the normalization, all that kind of stuff, all of the effects, all of the processes that you can think of will be in Audition. So anything you want to do to process your audio is there. And one of the great things about Audition is that they come with a lot of presets as well. So there are quite a few. So say you're applying compression for the first time, you have to experiment quite a bit with the compression settings to see what suits your voice. And also, compression for vocals differs from compression for other instruments or music. So Audacity isn't so much just tailored to vocals, so you're playing around with the compression settings, trying to find someone that suits vocals, whereas Audition has presets that work for vocals, for instruments, for music, that type of stuff. So you can try the compression presets, and they might save you a bit of time in finding something that works really well. Similar with the other features as well, like equalization and the like. So those presets can be really useful and give you a good pointer if you're just getting into using these types of audio production processes. Next, while Audacity does have noise reduction, and it does work pretty well, Audition is on a different level. Audition is known for its audio cleanup powers. So you can get rid of all sorts of noise in Audition. You can get rid of clicks. You can get rid of regular noise, so a regular buzz in the background. You can get rid of things like seagulls in the background. You can get rid of regular clicks and buzzes and all that kind of stuff. So Audition is really known for being great at cleaning up audio. It's partly the fact that it offers a few different ways of doing it. So it has the standard audio wave, where you can cut out parts, you can have a look at it, see what's there. But it's also got a spectrum analysis type of view, which basically shows you a kind of color map of the different frequencies that happen. So if there is a regular noise like a click or a beep that's going on in the background, it is possible that you can find that, isolate that particular frequency and cut that out using the spectrum analysis. And doing something like that affects the rest of your audio a lot less because you've been so specific with the frequency that you're getting rid of. So suffice to say that one of the things you're paying for in addition is the fact that you can really tidy up audio very well with it. Next thing around is the fact that Audition is just the navigation, really. I'm not sure how to say this exactly. The navigation is just so much easier. So you can navigate your way around an audio file really well. In Audacity, obviously, you can scroll side to side. You can find certain bits of the sound wave, but it's just so much quicker and easier in Audition. Zooming in and out, finding the right place, navigating between different tracks. Audition is just set up so well for navigating your way around that just saves you time, frustration, and all the rest when you're trying to edit your file. So all of these things come together to say that Audition is a better package. I mean, it's more there, it's easier to use, it's more powerful, it's better designed than Audacity or GarageBand, but obviously, it costs a fair bit of money. You've either got to subscribe to the Adobe Creative Cloud, which is something like $500 a year, or you've got to buy it individually, which is not, it's multiple hundreds of pounds or dollars. It changes, so I'm not going to say the exact price at the moment, so yeah, but it costs you a fair bit anyway. It will save you time though, it will give you a lot more power. So it's up to you whether you're going to actually use these effects enough, whether you're going to save enough time to justify that money. It depends on how much your time is worth to you, I suppose. If you're running a business, for example, it might be that it's a no-brainer and actually your time is worth a lot of money and therefore it's well worth paying the money to get Audition. If you're just doing it as a hobby though, it might be that Audacity is absolutely fine. You don't need the higher processing powers, all that type of stuff. And actually Audacity is just fine because it's free as well. The last thing to mention just before I finish up on Audition is that it does use the better MP3 encoder as well. It's the Fraunhofer MP3 encoder. So it is better quality than Audacity one. So you don't have to worry about exporting from Audition to put into iTunes. You can just do it straight from Audition. So that's a nice little time saver as well. Now, just to mention on Audition, a friend of mine, Mike Russell, runs a website called audioproductionmasters.com where he provides a whole ton of Audition tutorials. There's a lot of tutorials out there, but his videos are really good for using Audition. So I'd really encourage you to go over and check out audioproductionmasters.com. And he does a podcast on audio production as well, which often is all about Audition because he's a bit of an Audition fanboy. So he's well into Audition. And he's one of the reasons why I'm actually swapping over to do a bit of my editing in Audition these days, because he's convinced me that it's worth the effort to swap over. So yeah, if you want to know a bit more about Audition, check out Mike's site over there. But that'll do it for today's episode on digital audio workstations. I hope that gives you a good idea of what to choose and the reasons to choose each of them. By all means, if you have any more questions on that stuff, stick them in the comments. Just go to thepodcasthost.com/podcraft/205 and you'll find the comments at the bottom of the page past the show notes and the transcription. So get on there, ask me some questions, give me some feedback, let me know what you use to edit your podcasts. And it'd be great to hear about your processes too. What is it you do to your audio every single time? Tell me what you do. Do you compress? Do you equalize? Do you amplify? Do you normalize? All that kind of stuff. Tell me what you do on your podcast. I'd love to hear about it. So just to finish up, folks, thanks again for listening to another episode of Podcraft. This time around, I'm going to encourage you and plead to you to give me a review. I haven't had a couple of reviews in iTunes for a little while, so it'd be great to get some reviews in iTunes. Please do pop over to iTunes, find my podcast in there, just search for Podcraft in iTunes. You'll find the podcast there and you can give it a review. Whatever stars you think it's worth, I would hope you'll put in a little 5-star review. That would be absolutely brilliantly appreciated. But any kind of review at all will be excellent. It really helps to get the word out to the world about this podcast. So that's all I'll say for this time around. And next time we'll continue on with series 2 on audio podcasting equipment. So thanks again and talk to you next time.